Hey there, Marshall Latham here. I'm adding this forward to this episode in July of 2018. Rish and I recorded this episode back in the spring of 2016. It's been a popular episode. The most downloaded Delusions of Grandeur episode. And it also has the fourth highest number of page views on the blog. This makes me happy, because it's also one of my favorite episodes. Except for one thing. One element that kind of drags the rest down, in my opinion. The premise of this episode was to come up with some fun Star Wars spin-off fanfiction story ideas that could be used to spin off lesser-known characters from the world of Star Wars. Maybe serious pitches, but mostly for laughs. In coming up with my ideas, I wanted to include at least one pitch which mocked the worst cliches in bad fanfiction. The worst fanfiction that I am aware of devolves into pornography. So I included a pitch that was the worst form of that. Looking back, I probably add it mostly to shock Rish Outfield and make him laugh, because he knows me and he knows how far out of character this material is coming from me. However, instead of just leaving it as a private joke between the two of us, I went ahead and included it in our recording. I've always had reservations about including it, and you know, I tried to add a bunch of language to explain how I wasn't serious and all that, but I still left it in there. And even since it has aired, I've often considered editing the episode to exclude that part, but figured I was just being a chicken and not trusting the audience to catch the intended humor. I would think to myself, yeah, but the podcast is public, and what if this is the first episode that someone listens to? They wouldn't know me. They wouldn't have listened to all of my Journey Into backlog of episodes to know me and who I am and that kind of thing. You know, their first impression of me would be providing some rude, possibly offensive content. But still, I let it stand out of fear of being a wimp. But this week that changed. The straw that broke the camel's back for me was Disney's firing of James Gunn for illicit tweets that he had made about 10 years ago. And I'm not going to comment on the rightness or wrongness of Disney's decision, except to say that we as a people will be judged by history according to the messages that we have sent out into the world, especially in this digital landscape. You know, those messages may often be experienced out of context and without knowledge of, or, you know, searches for apologies or future personal growth or changes of viewpoint. And, you know, I don't want to be judged according to any message of poor taste that I have allowed to be released into the world, and or a message that may be of offense or hurtful to other people. So that's my decision to edit this episode. So, now that that's out of the way and I've said my piece, I really hope you do enjoy this episode. Rish and I had a lot of fun putting it together, and yeah, I hope you enjoy it. Now, get in there, you big furry oaf. I don't care what you smell.
Okay, instead of clapping, do you want to snap?
Okay.
Make it different?
Is it 1, 2, 3 snap or 1, 2 snap?
1, 2, 3 snap.
Okay.
All right. 1, 2, 3...
I'm standing here in pieces, and you're having to lose the Grandia!
It's a dark time for the Podosphere. Marshall Latham, striking from a hidden base, has won his first victory since forming the Journey Into podcast. During the battle, he managed to steal Rish Outfield away from the Doomsdief podcast, forming an alliance between them based on their love for Star Wars. Clearly, they must be suffering from delusions of grandeur.
Hello? Hello?
Hello? What have we here?
I'm out of it for a little while. Everybody gets delusions of grandeur.
This is Rish Outfield.
This is Marshall Latham.
And this is the Delusions of Grandeur podcast over at Journey Into.
What is the actual title of our podcast? Is it the Star Wars Delusions of Grandeur podcast at Journey Into? Is it Journey Into presents the Star Wars : Delusions of Grandeur podcast?
It is on the Journey Into podcast, but it's a Delusions of Grandeur episode. So I would just call it Delusions of Grandeur.
Okay.
And we can say it's part of the Journey Into podcast.
Well, we are your hosts, and we are back again. We're trying to be very regular on this because there's so much new information, so much new news and new stuff going on. Right before we started recording, you said, oh, well, we could do this and we could do this and we could do this. But we only have 6 minutes to do it all, so we will do none of those things. A couple episodes ago, as you probably remember, we did Beggar's Canyon, which was a story I wrote, sort of a, what do you call it? Can we call it an expanded universe story about Luke Skywalker?
Yeah, we could call it that, or a legends story.
Yes, I guess they call that now. But we talked a little bit about, I had this idea for doing a Princess Leia story, you know, of her discovering the corruption of the Empire and, you know, wishing that she could do something about it. And then the punchline of the episode is she discovers that her father has been doing something about it. And I was really getting into it. And when we talked about, wow, it would be fun to do a story about Han. It would be fun to do a story about the droids. And I think it was your idea. You're just like, well, let me send you a list of possible Star Wars spinoffs we could do.
Yes.
And
fan fiction ideas.
Fan fiction. Yeah, that's good. And so I made a list as well. And I thought maybe we would talk about these projects that are going to come up in future Delusions of Grandeur episodes.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Then we can maybe have the audience vote on the ones they would like us to write and produce on the podcast.
Yeah, that would work. And they can feel free to voice a droid or a stormtrooper in one of these things. And they can send us donations so that we can afford to get celebrities like Alistair Stewart and Norm Sherman to play, you know, Hutts and things like that.
Yeah.
You actually had Alistair Stewart on your show, didn't you?
He was. I had him. He was in part of The Machine Stops was the name of the podcast. So he was one of the characters on that one.
That's really impressive. You know, I could never get him to return my calls. anyhow, how about if you go first? Give me one of your pitches, and then I'll give you one of mine. Is that cool?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay.
So I like, you know, redemption stories. And I like to make good things better, good things good, or bad, I'm sorry, get bad things.
What is it you like to do?
I like to make bad things, turn bad things into good things. So take something, you know, that, you know, really isn't that big a deal and, you know, make it into something really cool. So what I thought I could do is I could write a story for Life Day 2, Return to Kashyyyk. What do you think of that?
Chewie, I know this is an important day for you. I'm doing the best I can. No, don't look at me that way, Chewie. I'm sure Molly and Itchy and Mala and Lumpy and Scratchy will be fine. I love Life Day 2, Chewie.
Oh, sorry. Somehow he was able to pull off those lines so it didn't sound as ridiculous as if one of us had said it.
No, but I think, you know, I could really do something good with that. Nobody likes a Christmas special, but I think I could turn it into something really, really good. You know, maybe it could be in the after The Force Awakens and, you know, Chewbacca's mourning the loss of Han Solo and he needs to go back to Kashyyyk and reconnect with his family. And so...
Could Rey go too?
Yeah, Rey could be there.
And she's like, we didn't have anything like Life Day on Jakku. The only holiday we had was De-Lousing Day.
So I don't know. What do you think? Do you think that would work? Do you think that would be a good pitch?
No.
Oh.
Someone with more talent than both of us, I think, could do something great with that.
So there, that's my first idea. There.
Okay, maybe this is harder than I thought. Let me give you mine and see what you think.
Okay.
Admiral Akbar, late in life, meets and falls in love with a beautiful young Twi'lek. who opens up a part of his heart he thought died long ago. Trouble is, she's a stripper.
I like that last part there. I think that'll hook people into it. Would we get Tim Rose to be Akbar for that?
It's so sad that you know who he is. I wonder what else the guy is doing. You live over there on the West Coast, and every single convention that I would go to in California, the dude, and I don't know his name, but the guy who had one line in Return of the Jedi, which was, "You rebel scum," would sign, and he would come to every single convention. And there'd always be like 5 or 10 people that are like, "Oh, I want him to write 'You rebel scum' on a picture." I sort of always felt sorry for him because, you know, his character never had a name or anything like that. He was just the "You rebel scum" guy. But if that guy can make a living selling his autograph, then yeah, Admiral Akbar Salacious Crumb should do fine.
Yeah. Now this isn't an official pitch, but you might have something with that character too. You could create a backstory for him and give him, people could really care about who "You rebel scum" guy is.
Yeah. Why did he take it so personally?
That's right.
Why such a low blow? What had the rebels done to? I mean, maybe he had a fiance on the Death Star or something, and that's why they were scum to him.
Okay, so my next story pitch here is for the Padawan adventure of Uriel Poof.
Which one is Uriel Poof? Is he the one with the long neck?
Yes, he's okay. He's a master of the Jedi Council. He was seen in Phantom Menace. He has a very long neck. I read up the stats on him, and apparently he has strength in the art of mind control. So I thought that might be interesting to write a story where he was... I figured for somebody of his physiology, he might not be very good in a lightsaber battle. So he only did have one adventure as a Padawan, and it was communing with a Minok that adventure took place. He spends a lot of time in meditation otherwise, so...
I don't think he showed up in episode 2, and my friends and I just speculated, oh, that long-necked guy got killed. I wonder if that story has ever been told.
I don't know. Somebody had figured out that he had a strength in mind control and things like that, so maybe he did show up somewhere.
I read last night that Maz Kanata, they were going to do her as a puppet.
Oh.
And, you know, a very Yoda-like type puppet. But they just couldn't decide on the design. They did a bunch of different designs and nobody was pleased with any of them. And so they just said, well, we'll just motion capture her. But yeah, I wonder how realistic a puppet they could do now, you know.
Yeah, without it being glaringly noticeable with all the other effects.
It seems like there was a movie just a couple years ago where they used a puppet, but they like CG'd like its mouth or its eyes or whatever. So that part was definitely very alive. And, you know, when it spoke, it, you know, it had all the articulation that an actual mouth would have. Does that sound familiar with it?
No, I could see where that would work, how that would work. You could make it look more lifelike with CG.
There's a book that hasn't come out yet. And it's weird because Force Awakens has been out for like 5 months, 3 months, 4 months. I don't know how long. But it's the making of The Force Awakens, and it still hasn't come out. And it's got a bunch of, you know, interesting information. Like, Snoke was originally going to be a female villain.
Oh.
And that would have been really interesting, too.
That would have.
Lots of really interesting ideas where they started going in one direction and then went somewhere else. And
Now that you say that... Within the movies, there is no female Sith-type person.
No, I guess the closest is... What was the name of that gray, bald Sith in the Clone Wars cartoons?
In Clone Wars, that was Asajj Ventress.
Asajj Ventress, yeah. Years ago at Comic-Con, there was a trivia contest, a Star Wars trivia contest that Sideshow Collectibles had. And I'm trying to remember what the question was. And... I got the answer right, and they gave me an Asajj Ventress 12-inch figure as a reward. And I was just like, dude, I could just answer the questions. You don't have to give me a prize. But
yeah. So you still have that figure?
No, I sold it like immediately. Though yeah. They were worth a lot. Anyway, I'm sorry. Oh, cool. I got derailed. Is it my turn or your turn? We just talked about...
Talked about your real poof.
So. Yes, we did. Oh, what a terrible name, by the way.
It is very bad.
I mean, the sad thing is I met you a couple of times, Marshall, and you're real poof, too.
well, thanks, man.
Okay, my next pitch is Malachili, the Rancor Keeper, brokenhearted and out of a job after his pet and only friend is killed, leaves Tatooine and goes to Coruscant, where he gets an extreme makeover and a new lease on life.
Ah.
Okay, they can't all be winners, guys.
So would that be like a reality show type thing?
I was going to say like a Sex in Imperial City sort of thing, but that doesn't work.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought of this one when I was, I was really thinking about Force Awakens and thinking about Kylo Ren and similar to the way I'd like to redeem stories, you know, I like a good redemption story for a character as well. Definitely killing his father. He did that in order to strengthen his path to the dark side. And then the other thing I was thinking about was, you know, during the holidays, you know, there's a lot of adaptations of A Christmas Carol out there. You know, there's the Bad Jim Carrey one, there's the Muppets version, there's the Disney version, lots of Christmas. So I thought maybe it'd be a really good idea to have a Star Wars Christmas Carol story and call it a Kylo Carol. Now, I even started to think of how to write it. So it would start out with the words, Han Solo was dead to begin with. And we would go through and Kylo could be visited by the Force ghost of Han Solo, and he would warn Kylo that he needed to return to the light and that he would be visited by three Sith throughout the night. And so then Kylo would first be visited by Darth Maul and then by Count Dooku. And then finally his grandfather, Darth Vader, would come. He would be the last Force ghost to visit him. And then, of course, the last line of the story would read, May the Force be with us, everyone.
Everyone. You know, I know these are just supposed to be funny, but I would support you writing something like that.
You would?
Just the fun of that sort of thing. And it made me wonder if he goes back to that terribly named Dark Lord guy that in Force Awakens. And he tells him, you know, I killed my father and now I can, you know, really, really be dark. And Snoke says, well, you still have one parent out there. And it's like, oh, shoot. You don't suppose that's going to happen, do you?
I don't know. Wow.
Okay. Bossk, down on his luck after losing bounties and notoriety to Boba Fett, opens up a private investigation office. His first client, Captain Antilles, wants him to track down these two droids he used to own that went missing one day.
Hmm. I like it. I would like to read a Bossk story, actually.
And we'll do a theme song. This is very, very heavily Blaxploitation influenced. In fact, it could even be the theme to Shaft. Only it's going, Bossk! Who's the Trandoshan private dick who's a sex machine with all the spice harvester chicks? All right, never mind.
Hey, Sunny C, if you're listening to this podcast, that might be a good idea for you to put that song together for us there.
I don't imagine Sunny C is listening, but
probably not.
Don't be surprised if in an upcoming episode you do hear the theme song to Boss.
Just kind of a side note, but the other day I was I had a music folder in a file folder on a hard drive somewhere. And I started playing the music, and one of it was his version of Asshat Magic Spider that he did. He put out a YouTube video with you guys singing that from your podcast, but he actually put music behind it. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, I do remember that, although I haven't listened to it in a long time. Now I want to. There's actually like an MP3 of it floating around.
Either that or I recorded it. I don't know how. Maybe I got it off of YouTube somehow on an MP3. Yeah, so anyway, that's why I thought of Sonny C doing a song for us for Boss.
We'll have to do that, man, just for fun. He's a complicated man, and no one understands him but his...
What? Bosk. We have to get the singer, some girl singers, though, to do the Bosk part. Future endeavors there. All right. Well, do you think the cat's out of the bag yet, that we're not serious about these?
Oh, shoot. Gave it away too soon.
Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, let's see. Okay, so here's my next one. Lak Sivrak, the wolfman of the Mos Eisley Cantina, has disappeared. Somebody or something is determined to wipe him out and all traces he ever existed. Why would they do this? And can they be stopped before they strike again?
That could work. Now, did you ever read...
See, that's meant to be funny.
Did you ever read the tales of the cantina?
I did. Yeah, Kevin Anderson said that is still the biggest selling science fiction anthology of all time.
Wow, that's impressive.
To me, it is. I don't know.
I think you might have told me that at one point. But
yeah, well, he was, what do you call it, the guest of honor at a convention I went to. He talked about
That.
He talked about how that accidentally got written.
It accidentally got written?
Yeah, he was at the Lucasfilm commissary and a bunch of people were eating and he was there to do research. He was doing, what was his series called?
The Jedi Trilogy, Jedi Academy?
Jedi Academy Trilogy or whatever. And he was there looking through the archives and these people were talking about, so there's got to be some way that we could get a bunch of science fiction authors to write short stories in the Star Wars universe. But the other one was saying that would never, ever work because they'd all want to write about Han or they'd all want to write about Luke. And then, it would be a nightmare to keep continuity together. And so he said, hey, guys, I heard what you were talking about. What you ought to do is do an anthology where it's all about the creatures in the cantina. And anybody can, you know, pick one of those and write about them because you're not going to have any continuity with them and who cares, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, wow, that's a great idea. Who are you? And he told them and they said, wow, that's, you know, we'll take that up to Lucasfilm. And he's like, cool. And the next day he got a call and they said, hey, do you remember us from yesterday? We wondered if you wanted to be the editor of that. And so he wow, not only did that, cool. But then they asked him to pitch more, and he pitched Tales of the Bounty Hunters and Tales from Jabba's Palace, and yeah, apparently that made him a lot of money.
Tales from the Empire.
Yeah, I never read that one. Which one was Tales from the Empire?
I think it was just another one in that series, and that's the only one I've read any stories from, because my son got it at some point, and I read that. That was pretty good. There's some interesting stories in there. But yeah, I guess I'm going to have to check out Tales from the Cantina.
Oh, why didn't I think to ask him if they're going to do one for Tales from Mos Kanata's Bar?
Oh, right.
Because I would work. Jump on that in a second to write a short story set in the Star Wars universe. And, you know, it's like, oh, hey, there's that really, really fat guy with a peg leg. That's the one you're going to write about. Thank you. Yes.
Yes. Well, I did read a short story. I don't remember how I caught on to it. I think I was looking through Overdrive or something for Star Wars books, and that one was available to look in a electric form. But I can't remember the guy's name now. But there's the two pirates or whatever that Finn was going to go off with.
Yeah, people are really obsessed with the red one. I think his name is Sidon Ithano. Does that sound right?
That sounds right. Yeah.
And there's a bunch of toys of him, and he's just a really well-designed guy.
Yeah, and I think they call it, like, his nickname or whatever is the Crimson Corsair.
Oh, okay.
Because he has the red helmet, but, yeah, I read a story where they were looking on this planet kind of in a competition to get this buried treasure from the Clone Wars. And that was an interesting little story. So there's hope for us, or at least maybe for you. You're the better writer.
Well, that sort of stuff seems like it would be a lot of fun. And I don't remember there being any stinkers in that anthology. It's the sort of thing where, every Star Wars fan, except for you, has a copy of that on their shelf. And and so, that would be a really nice way to get your name out there.
It would be. And it wouldn't be, a novel or a trilogy or something. It would just be in an anthology. Well, you'll have to email Kevin J. Anderson and see if he's going to do that.
I don't have his email. All right. You I think it's your turn, man.
Oh, so, well, I guess the reason I asked if you'd read the Tales from the Cantina was there a story about the Wolfman?
Yes.
In there? Oh, okay.
Yeah, that was before George Lucas removed the Wolfman that book was written, and so.
Yeah, for some reason he removed him. Well, I guess my next story pitch, and this is the last one that I came up with, kind of goes along with that in that my character for this next story is a young Bith named Dearth Festin. Not that he's necessarily associated with the Bith from the Cantina, but my idea for this story, the name of it would be called Before the Jabba Gig, and I kind of see it as a mashup between the movie Almost Famous and Return of the Jedi. And so this young Bith is a music journalist, and he follows the Max Rebo Band during its rise to fame, and he forms a romantic relationship with Cy Snoodles along the way. I think it could work.
Yeah, their romance was the inspiration for Lopty Neck.
That could be. That's all I got, man.
The sad thing is, I would read that. If you wrote that, I would read that, and I would be happy to narrate it or help you do it, work on it.
Okay.
Yes, I know that all of these are terrible, terrible ideas, but it's just you have such earnestness when you pitch, where I think, well, I love Almost Famous, and I love Return of the Jedi. Yes, let's do that.
Let's do it.
Okay, well, I've saved the best for last, man.
Okay, the best for last.
The Adventures of Willrow Hood, Cloud City Ice Cream Vendor. Do you know who Willrow Hood is?
I don't.
If you do a search for him, it's so stupid. There was a guy, just an extra in Cloud City, and he had an ice cream maker. And it's just, it's a sci-fi looking device. But he runs down the hall, and he's really fat, and he runs down the hall, and he has an ice cream maker. And fans picked up on that and said, hey, look, have you ever noticed there's a guy with an ice cream maker in there? He got an action figure. He's got a character name. It's just really sad.
Oh, that's hilarious.
So, yeah, if you do a search for Willrow Hood, you'll find, images of him. You find guys who have cosplayed as him.
And, well, that might work for me as a cosplay, because I've made ice cream before, and I'm not small. So.
You saw Jurassic World, right?
I did see Jurassic World, yes.
The first time that I saw it, I couldn't help but notice the guy, when the dinosaurs were attacking, the guy who grabbed his margaritas off the table. And in the credits, there was a credit for a guy that said Margarita Man. I thought that's how these sort of things happen, is they notice something like that and say, oh, okay, let's make a figure of...
I'll have to go look that up now. Well, there you go. There's our bad fan fiction choices.
Yeah, I like to think of this as our Star Wars spin-off spectacular episode.
Ah, there you go.
But, as we record this, they've narrowed down the actors who are going to play young Han Solo. I think there's like four or five of them.
Yes.
Rogue One is pretty much done. They announced Alexandre Desplat is doing the score for it.
Yes.
So I think they've already started working on that. Episode 8 is shooting. And so, just these spinoffs, it'll be fun to see how they go. And if Rogue One is tremendously successful, as I'm sure it will be, we'll probably see a bunch more of these lined up. And don't be surprised if you find our names on the credits for one of these upcoming Star Wars spinoffs.
That could be. Yeah, I heard somebody talking about the Rogue One, and they were talking about how important it is that Rogue One does well in the theaters, because a lot of these other... Well, they were talking about, you know, you could probably always sell a young Han Solo, and that one movie could probably be have its own life as a trilogy or whatever. But they really liked the fact that you would get a bunch of these different types, independent movies made in the Star Wars universe. And if Rogue One didn't do well, then they might just use the crutch of, you know, tying in with a Han Solo or a, you know, a character that we're all familiar with, rather than taking a chance and doing a different type of movie that has people we've never heard of before.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me, because if it doesn't perform as well as they want, then yes, it will be I'm sure they'll make the Boba Fett movie no matter what.
Yeah.
But if it is successful, and they were like, well, we're going to do one that's set in the, what was the old stories? The Knights of the Old Republic stories.
You know, yes.
We're going to do one of those. Yeah. Or we're going to do, you know, one that's just purely comic. Or we're going to do, you know, a very dark, somber bounty hunter story or revenge story or, you know, things like that, where somebody has a pitch, kind of like you did, and said, you know, I want to do one with children that's set in, you know, set on Alderaan 5 days before the destruction. And you could go any number of ways, and it'd just be neat if, you know, people came into Kathleen Kennedy's office and they pitched their ideas for what they'd like to do. And she's like, okay, here's a check, go write it, and we'll meet again, you know.
That'd be pretty cool.
I remember, what's his name? Paul Dini talked about going into Lucasfilm and pitching episodes of The Clone Wars. And he got a meeting with them, and he said, I want to do the ultimate tale of redemption for Jar Jar Binks. And they're like, ha, 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 seriously, what do you want to do? And he said, no, I want to do like a really dead serious Jar Jar Binks story. And they said, no, why would anybody? No, don't do that. What else you got? I just thought that was a funny story. Because I guess they're still kind of sensitive about Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah, I can see. Well, they did try to, you know, they had several Jar Jar episodes in the Clone Wars where they tried to, you know, make him, I guess, maybe forward his role as a important character in the canon. But that might have been George Lucas at the time trying to justify Jar Jar Binks. I don't know. But
well, yeah, my cousin's been watching it, and apparently there is an order, a chronological order in where they take place. You know what I mean? Like, this one takes place after this one.
Yeah.
But that's not the way that they aired.
They jump all over. It's kind of confusing.
So he's been watching them in chronological order, according to some website.
Okay.
And he says every once in a while it'll be, oh no, it's a Padme episode, or oh no, it's a Jar Jar episode.
A couple of the Padme things were okay, but yeah, it was usually just kind of a, okay, not much is going to happen in this episode kind of thing. Well, hey, if our fans are interested in any of these stories, Would you be willing to write one of your stories if it was voted the most wanted bad fan fiction Star Wars out there?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And if they want to pitch their own ideas for bad Star Wars spinoffs, we could present those in a future episode, just like a whole list.
We could. They could call the voicemail line and leave their pitch for their story.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah.
One time I drunkenly called you at 3 a.m. on that voice line. I hope you erased it.
No, I have those. They might show up someday. But yeah, I thought maybe we could do something with these ideas, or have, like you said, I didn't think about having other people pitch their ideas, but maybe we could say, ask for donations for, you know, we could find the winning two stories, one from your list, one from my list, and maybe say, okay, if people donate to the podcast, We'll write these stories. I don't know how what kind of a dollar level we would use, but do you think that'd be a good idea?
That's fine. I don't know that I've ever looked at the stats to know if we have enough listeners to merit something like that. But, you know, there are people like Gino and Sonny who are illustrators, and it would be really cool if they made like a mock-up poster for one of these.
That would be pretty cool. Yeah, and maybe...
And we could use that as the episode art for whichever one we actually use. But again, yeah, if you're listening and there is a book, an anthology of the Maz Kanata, what is that place called where she...
I don't know. Was it a bar or a castle or a...
Yeah, I don't know what it was called. I don't even remember the name of the planet. Do you?
I don't.
But that may well already exist. It seems like a lost opportunity if they didn't already think of doing that. But yeah, I'm totally serious. I would, for free, I would write that thing. I would start today if they said, okay, this is your character.
Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. Okay, so I guess call the voicemail line or email the journeyintopodcast@gmail.com and tell us which story you would like us to write from these bad Star Wars fan fiction ideas. And we'll decide what to do with it from there. But yeah, we'd like to hear from you, get your feedback. If you have your own story pitch, call the voicemail line. Give us your best pitch. And maybe Rish and I can select our best pitch that we get from you fans and listeners of the podcast.
And I have literally 1,000 Star Wars items that I could give something away as a prize for the best pitch.
Oh, that would be cool.
An embarrassing number of Star Wars action figures and stuff like that. So. I'll give away my Wilrow Hood action figure to the person who... Anyway, I better not promise that. He's worth almost $8, I think, now.
Ooh. Okay, so we'd love to hear from you. I think that's all we had planned for today. So we'll call this episode complete, and wish you on your way.
And next month the movie comes out on video. I'm sure you're going to get it, right?
I am going to get it. It's going to be my first Blu-ray that I buy.
Yeah, I've already bought two of them, but it's just because I'm greedy. At Disney Store, if you pre-order the Blu-ray, you get this lithograph set, and
oh, cool.
And there's that.
Yep, so I'm up in my technology game for Star Wars, so there you go.
Okay, well, I'm thinking there's a fairly good chance that's what our next episode will be, is talking about that.
I think that would be a good idea.
Okay, well, I have been Rish Outfield.
And I have been Marshall Latham.
And may the Force be with us.
Everyone.
Yes, yes, Artu, I'll tell them. My little companion would have you know that the Delusions of Grandeur podcast is presented under a Creative Commons license. All right, a Creative Commons attribution license, which means... Oh, right, Artu, a Creative Commons Attribution No Derivatives 3.0 license. Yes, yes, Artu, that means they can share it with anyone, be them human, alien, or droid, but they cannot charge for the files or alter them in any fashion. Are you happy now? Well, that is quite uncalled for.
But yeah, I feel bad. I've let you down. I meant to continue watching Rebels, and I haven't. So did you see an episode with Leia in it?
I did, yeah. Yep, she was in there for an episode. And
But what's going on with her in that episode? Is she already part of the Rebel Alliance?
She's not known to be in the Rebel Alliance, but she from Alderaan Alderaan. You know, she does what she...
Alderaan?
She does what she...
I can't go to Alderaan. I've got work to do. I'm in for it as it is. Sorry.
You must do what you feel is right, of course.
No, but she's trying to give the rebels a couple ships, and so she comes to Lothal and kind of arranges with them to you know help them steal the ships that she brought, but they have to get past the Empire Patrol, and they're kind of on to her a little bit. They're suspicious of her, saying that a lot of Alderaan ships have gone missing to the rebels, so they kind of suspect her a little bit, but she, you know, plays it up and makes it look like their fault. So it was a good episode with her in there. Kind of gives you a glimpse into her as a younger person before Star Wars.
Well, gosh, I wish I had thought to ask about this in the next episode.
I know, we keep getting off track.
What's her voice like? Does she have the Governor Tarkin, that voice? Or does she have an American accent?
It's more of an American accent. I actually listened to an interview with the actress that portrayed her, and I guess she portrayed Leia in something else. I can't remember what it was. But she does kind of have a little bit of a lilting in her voice, a little bit, but she doesn't go into the more British type accent.
Huh.
Just a hint of it, I guess.
I know who you are. You're Ezra Bridger. I heard your transmission.
Yeah, my parents heard it too. But they're gone now.
I'm sorry.
It's just, there's so much against us. Do you ever wonder
if this fight is even worth it? Every day. But I'm still here.
But you're a princess. You don't have to risk your life doing this.
I feel like because I can fight, I have to, for those who cannot. And I think you might be the same way.
Okay, well, sorry, let's put a pin in that, and we'll bring it up in the next episode. In fact, maybe I'll just lift this bit, and we'll put it in the next episode. Is that cool?
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay, so sorry, let's get back to whatever we were talking about before. I was just like, oh, Leia. Yeah, because then I wanted to talk about my story and say, wow, should I not watch that episode? Well, screw things up.
Oh, right.
Not that I, on Christmas Day, I wrote a lot on that story, the Princess Leia thing, and I haven't written anything on it since then. I went to my dad's house, he lives on a farm, and there's no internet, and so I just sat there while everybody was playing with their presents and stuff, and watching A Christmas Story for the zillionth time, and sort of planned out what I wanted to do with that Princess Leia story, but I haven't written on it at all since then. So that's a shame. But again, this should be in the next episode. It just felt like maybe I shouldn't be wasting my time with that stuff because it's not my sandbox to play in.
Right. It's...
And we didn't get the overwhelming response that I hoped we would get from Beggar's Canyon.
Yeah.
Where people were just like, oh, that was awesome. Do it again. That's all I wanted, was one person to say that. It was just like, oh my gosh, do another story. What happens to Luke next? And I was like, oh, we will find out. But somebody sent me a link, and again, this will have to be in the Star Wars spinoff showcase episode. Somebody sent me a link to a Marvel comic now that Marvel is doing Star Wars again, and it might have been you, but they did an Obi-Wan Kenobi spinoff that's telling what happened to Ben after his exile on Tatooine.
Yeah, I didn't send that to you, but I have seen that. Yeah, I saw an article somewhere on that, that they were talking about how badass he was.
But he would, from the shadows, always try and help Luke and Owen and Beru out. And at one point, Uncle Owen confronts Ben.
Yeah.
And he's angry, and he says, you know, we're the only homestead that's never been attacked by Tusken Raiders. He's like, and I know that that's you doing this. And it's just, Ben is just like, I keep to myself. I'm not a, you know, kind of thing. And he's like, the Jawas are always bringing us spare parts just when we need them for some machine that has broken down. How do these Jawas know what we need? Oh my gosh. I was like, that is so cool.
Yeah.
Because it felt right. It felt true that Ben wants to be anonymous, but in any way he can help this family out, he does.
Yeah, and It's kind of true really to like the that. Owen character too, that he doesn't want any of that.
But why? If the prequels happened, why would he not want? You know what I mean? He doesn't have a history with Anakin or Obi-Wan. Or are they just like me saying the prequels didn't happen and they did know each other and maybe they were friendly and then had a falling out and he knows darn well what happened to Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah, I guess when I said he fit in, I guess he fit in with your Uncle Owen more than the prequel one.
Anyway, sorry. Once again, the spin-off episode is getting longer and our episode is getting shorter.